Benediction. When, by the changeless power of a supreme decree, the poet issues forth upon his sorry sphere, his mother, horrified and full of blasphemy, uplifts her voice to God, who takes compassion on her. Ah, why did I not bear a serpent's nest entire instead of bringing forth this hideous child of doom? Oh, cursed be that transient night of vain desire when I conceived my expiation in my womb. Yet, since among all women thou hast chosen me to be the degradation of my jaded mate, and since I cannot, like a love leaf, wantonly consign this stunted monster to the glowing grate, I'll cause thine overwhelming hatred to rebound upon the cursed tool of thy most wicked spite. Forsooth, the branches of this wretched tree I'll wound and rob its pestilential blossoms of their might. So thus she giveth vent unto her foaming ire, and knowing not the changeless statutes of all times, herself amid the flames of hell prepares the pyre, the consecrated penance of maternal crimes. Yet, neath the invisible shelter of an angel's wing, this sunlight-loving infant, disinherited, exhales from all he eats and drinks and everything the ever-sweet ambrosia and nectar rent. He trifles with the winds and with the clouds that glide about the way unto the cross he loves to sing. The spirit on his pilgrimage, that faithful guide, oft weeps to see him joyful like a bird of spring. All those that he would cherish shrink from him with fear, and some that waxen bold by his tranquillity endeavor hard some grievance from his heart to tear, and make on him the trial of their ferocity. Within the bread and wine outspread for his repast, to mingle dust and dirty spittle they essay, and everything he touches forth they slyly cast, or scourge themselves, if e'er their feet betrod his way. His wife goes round proclaiming in the crowded quads, since he can find my body beauteous to behold, why not perform the office of those ancient gods and, like unto them, redeck myself with shining gold? I'll bathe myself with incense, spikenard and myrrh, with genuflections, delicate viands and wine, to see, in jest, if, from a heart that loves me dear, I cannot filch away the homages divine. And when of these impious jokes at length I tire, my frail but mighty hands around his breast entwined, with nails like harpies' nails, shall cunningly conspire the hidden path unto his feeble heart to find. And like a youngling bird that trembles in its nest, I'll pluck his heart right out, within its own blood drowned. And finally, to satiate my favorite beast, I'll throw it with intense disdain upon the ground. Towards the heavens where he sees the sacred grail, the poet calmly stretches forth his pious arms, whereon the lightnings from his lucid spirit veil the sight of the infuriated mob that swarms. O blessed be thou, Almighty, who bestowest pain, like some divine redress for our infirmities, and like the most refreshing and the purest rain, to sanctify the strong for saintly ecstasies. I know that for the poet thou wilt grant a chair among the sainted legion and the blissful ones, that of the endless feast thou wilt accord his share to him of virtues, dominations, and of thrones. I know that sorrow is that nobleness alone, which never may corrupted be by hell nor curse. I know, in order to enwreathe my mystic crown, I must inspire the ages and the universe. And yet the buried jewels of Palmyra old, the undiscovered metals in the pearly sea of gems that unto me you show could never hold beside this diadem of blinding brilliancy. For it shall be engendered from the purest fire of rays primeval, from the holy hearth amassed, of which the eyes of mortals in their sheen entire are but the tarnished mirrors, sad and overcast. End of poem.